Hello, welcome to a great podcast. I'm Catherine Forsyth.
I'm Jana Ratzloff.
I'm Darius.
Oh, is your mic on?
Wait, hang on.
Okay, try talking again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
So we're going to talk about Heart of Darkness, and we especially want to turn our focus to the horror that Marlowe says in his last breath. And as Mr. Chisnell brought up the idea that Kurtz isn't lying when he says that the intended's name is the horror. And so that we took that to mean, or like we talked about it meaning that she is civilization and like she's just the embodiment of all that is awful and what's wrong with civilization. So the ignorance, I honestly, with the intended, I got the sense of just like, I mean, you could see how Mr. Chisnell was talking about it. It's she's like complete desperation.
Yeah, it's definitely just like a false perception of how things truly are, and she's justified by the means that she's been holding on to, and so she doesn't. She's not able to truly see things for how they are because she has her own perception based on what she believes to be true.
Yeah, and okay, yesterday I was working on those impromptus from the practice test, and for the Q3, I decided to write about Turn of the Screw, and it made me realize the governess is a lot like the intended, in that they're both so stuck on their beliefs that they just can't change at all.
Yeah.
And they're also both, like, ignorant to it and blind. They can't see it either.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought that was an interesting connection. And I started to... Did you guys do those practice things?
I will.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. When I was doing it, I, like... It asks about central questions in each one. And I, like, wrote down a question for each. And it kind of seemed like all the questions were, like, along the lines of, can we escape... Can we break free from ignorance and stuff like that? And, like, Turn of the Screw was, can we ever, like, whose perception can we ever trust?
Yeah.
And then Invisible Man's like, can we ever break free from our history? I don't know. They're just, the questions all seem related, and it's really interesting that they're all kind of connecting.
Yeah. I would say a lot of it is connected, I believe, just based on how things are defined, too. Just because now, like, how we're having a conversation, just the words that we use, the connotations that each word has, and just, you know, the history behind everything we say and do, it goes on much deeper than just us. And so it's kind of hard at times to be more individual than we would like to be, I think. And so I forget what we were talking about, but I think it was how... You know, kind of like history repeats itself, and it's like a constant pattern. And you know, I think Chisnell asked, "Do we ever learn from our mistakes or humanity's mistakes, even though it's documented?" And I think that's kind of the problem. Even though we see the evidence, or there is evidence out there, we still don't truly understand it or trying to engage it and make a difference.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jenna.
And, like, the intended, when Marlowe went to go visit her, she's surrounded by all this ivory, but she has, like, no idea that what it takes to get it.
Yeah.
So she kind of represents the entire civilization since they're turning a blind eye to what Kurtz has been doing in Africa, in the Congo.
And I thought Mr. Chisnell said, and this is just a thing that, like, was brought up, too, is that, and everyone knew it, too, though. It wasn't even, like... turning a blind eye is a good way to describe it. It's like they just, even though they weren't ignorant to it, but they chose to do nothing, which was worse. The intended, it's hard to read because honestly, she seems like really ignorant to me just in the way like she thinks she knows everything about Kurtz. But at the other hand, it just, I don't know, it seems more like she's just been like driving this narrative into her head this whole time.
I kind of think she's a little brainwashed to the, like, she has her image of Kurtz and she's sticking to that 100%. She hasn't seen this man in years, but she has her ideal image of him and she's just convinced that he is that and he's really not.
Yeah.
this makes me, okay, and so we can also connect this to Invisible Man, because when Invisible Man gets those letters,
yeah,
I don't know, he like, he has so much evidence that people aren't on his side, and that, oh my gosh, Bledsoe wants, like, he doesn't want anything good for him.
Yeah.
But he just keeps acting as though he has all these people on his side and they're supporting him, and he just keeps hoping that it's going to be good, but it never turns. I don't know. It seems like in literature, the characters are all blind. And
yeah.
I mean, I think that's just, that's the point. Like, they have to be blind to something for us to see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's all stuff that we can see clearly, but they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. Do you guys hear that, like, beep?
That yeah. Was,
that oh, was that's your phone? Oh, okay. Oh, no problem.
One line that kind of stood out for me was when the intendant and Marla were talking, and she says, "I've been very happy, very fortunate, very proud." 70. She went on, "Too fortunate, too happy for a little while, and now I'm unhappy for life." So she's living without Kurtz. She's very happy because she keeps getting all this ivory sent to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, proud to, like, show it off and, like, display her fiance's, like, achievements. But now she's unhappy with it and, like, unsatisfied. So I kind of thought that showed, like, humanity's greed and, like, always wanting something next. Mm-hmm. But now, like, oh, Kurt's gone. Well, yeah, I'm sad, but I'm not going to get all this, like, ivory and stuff anymore.
Yeah. And now she says, that is kind of, oh, she's, like, too fortunate, too happy, and now I'm unhappy. It's just so simple, too. Like, I don't know, there's so, I think in, when your husband's bringing you ivory and, like, riches, and, like, he's also a horrible person, it's like, I don't know, it seems like there's more to it than just,
yeah,
I'm happy, I'm unhappy. Okay, wait, is this mic off? There we go. That should work a little better.
Oh, okay.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely believe she's holding on to the material items or just the benefits she's received throughout what he has accomplished, quote-unquote accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that she values him for all of his quote-unquote success. You know, that's the ironic part, because she's not paying attention to, you know, the cruelty and the, you know, inhumane treatment, you know, just the things that aren't right about it. And instead, she's calling upon, you know, the ivory, and she's like, oh, look at all that I have, basically, because he did all this. But she's kind of negating or not trying to, you know, fully look at the big picture, but more or less take out of it what she wants to justify her her reason on the subject.
I like that. She's seeing what she wants. It's not that she's really, I don't know, maybe she's not even ignorant. She just is choosing
mm-hmm.
not to see. I guess that's true ignorance. That's what I would argue. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Intended is a really interesting character. And if the Intended is the embodiment of civilization, then I wonder, what is Kurtz? What is he representing? Is mm-hmm. he... I don't know. Because I want to say something about being... Because remember how we talked about how he's motivated? And just because you're motivated doesn't mean it's a good thing, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He just seems like he does... He worked hard, but in a disgusting, sick way, but, like, he had no consequences. So I just don't know who Kurtz would be if the Intended is civilization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's, like, and when he says, like, the horror, I think that Kurtz, since it's his fiance who is civilization, mm-hmm. he has been the one who's been closest to it and seen it firsthand. But I just, maybe he's just there to be, like, have the, like, most intimate relationship with civilization, I guess, and try and break free from it. I don't know. I just want to know what mm-hmm. Kurtz really is. And there's not really a definite answer.
Yeah. I just immediately, when I think about Kurtz, because, you know, he's somebody who's outside of the binary opposition between, you know, civilization in the wilderness, or, you know, just the jungle, or whatever you want to word you want to use for it. I definitely think about Reinhardt each time, and kind of how you play upon it, or how he did kind of play upon it. And I think when you look at his intended or his fiance, it kind of represents, you know, how most of the society, they're aware of the problems that society has, but they just still decide not to truly see things and kind of just go about their life holding on to what they want to and, mm-hmm. you know, acting as they would want to. And that's kind of, I don't think that's like the total answer, but that's part of the horror, is just that people know what's going on and they don't want to do anything about it. And mm-hmm. they just allow it to continue and don't really make a change or hold people accountable for it, and just happens, and it's just history.
Yeah, maybe Kurtz isn't like supposed to be anything specific. It's more like he's the eyes, he's the one who truly sees it.
Yeah. And like Marlowe knew what Kurtz was doing was bad. He could have exposed him, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that just goes with people know, but they don't wish to solve the problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the bell.
Yeah. Wait, if we talk for 40 more seconds, then we'd each get 4 minutes. So isn't that what he said? So I have one last idea. And you mentioned Reinhardt, and he was the one mm-hmm. who like had all these different personas in Invisible Man, right?
Yeah, it didn't even matter.
Yeah, he is very similar to Marlowe, not Marlowe, Kurtz, mm-hmm. because, yeah, he can like fly, he like, yeah, transcends civilization. I think that's interesting that both of those stories have a character that who's could be capable of that.
Yeah, and he was, both characters were built up the entire way through the novel, and you don't get to meet them until the very end.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, when
they
he,
go like completely crazy.
Yeah, when he talks about Reinhardt, it's like he talks about him as this great guy, but he also like did really bad things too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most poor swa people seem to be the most, like, I don't know, they don't do
the best use things. Society.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening. Hi, Braxton. That's the second podcast Braxton got on. Bye.